Chapter 33.
Hey, Joe, Skippy drawled, his voice hoarse. You know how in horror movies, before you see the monster, there is a horrible sound, like the claws of an enormous spider scratching across a stone floor, or the scales of a ginormous snake slithering toward you? Sometimes the sound itself can be terrifying. I knew what it meant when Skippy's voice sounded like he had a rough night, and when he dragged out words like that. He was drunk again. Or high. Or however best to describe it when an elder AI is experiencing what he called cognitive impairment. Especially when he sounded like that when he woke me up in the early hours. Tapping my Z-phone showed it was 0400, so if he kept me up, I wouldn't lose much sleep. Hi, Skippy.
Hey. Are you awake?
Knowing I would have to respond to his idiotic question, I sat up in bed. Fortunately, Margaret had gotten up early for a star team exercise, so Skippy didn't disturb her sleep. By coincidence, I am.
Oh, good.
Are you feeling okay?
Fine, yeah. Why do you ask?
No reason. What's up?
You mentioned branching universe theory. Oh, man, you sound super dumb whenever you talk about science,
he giggled. I'm glad that I entertain you. Can I go back to sleep now?
As if, he snorted. I have an important question about human understanding of cosmology and branching universe theory.
Oh, cool. I felt a surge of hope. Okay, then you should talk to one of the engineering team. They know more than me about...
Dude, I am not asking you to explain it.
He blew a raspberry that sounded extra wet because he was drunk.
I'm curious what the average monkey knows about the subject. Since you are below average, I figure if you know something, the average person must...
Can you just ask the question, please?
Oh, sure. It's about Back to the Future.
The movie. The first one, I mean. The second movie was an epic crap fest. We do not speak of it, I agreed. Okay. You want to know about physics in a movie? That's not... Either he didn't hear me or didn't care.
In the movie, Marty's parents begin as kind of sad losers, you know. His father still gets pushed around by Biff, and his mother hates her life. Then Marty goes to meet Doc Brown at Twin Pines Mall and goes back to the 1950s. He accidentally destroys the original future, and he has to fix it by arranging for his parents to meet at that dance.
Yeah. My memory of that movie was kind of vague, but coming back to me as he talked. Yeah, his parents met at the mermaid dance, something like that.
At the Enchantment Under the Sea dance, he corrected me. But Marty changes the future again because his father beats up Biff in the parking lot.
Right. So, what's your question?
Ugh. I'm getting to it, knucklehead.
Sorry.
Okay. So, at the end of the movie, the original Marty comes back to the mall, only it is now named Lone Pine Mall because he ran over one of Mr. Peabody's pine trees when he drove the DeLorean out of the barn.
I knew that. Really, I did know that nerdy detail. Okay, technically my sister noticed it and told me about it, but the info was not new to me. What about it?
When Marty is standing at the Lone Pine Mall sign, he sees another version of himself drive away in the DeLorean and go back in time.
Is that a problem?
It is a huge problem.
He dragged out the word. Still drunk.
Let's refer to the second version of Marty as Lone Marty. He grew up with parents who were happy and successful. Lone Marty has a cool pickup truck, and the adult Biff he knows washes cars. Despite all the changes in the way he grew up, Lone Marty still meets Doc Brown in the mall parking lot that night.
Okay, well, he is still the same person. It makes sense he would have similar friends.
Whatever. You are totally missing the point, numbskull. My question is, what happened to Lone Marty?
Huh?
Huh. Right? You see it? Lone Marty went back in time, and we never see him come back. Did he also screw up events so that his parents never met and he couldn't fix it, so therefore he didn't exist in the future? Did the events of the movie kill the second Marty?
Skippy, it even worse.
What if Lone Marty had not been able to go back in time? The Libyans could have shot the DeLorean's tires and the car wouldn't get to 88 miles per hour. Then there would be two Martys in the same timeline. Lone Marty had a pretty sweet life. Maybe the original Marty might have killed him to take his place. Oh, it is just a philosophical mess!
You are seriously asking me whether the screenwriters of a 1980s movie had a correct understanding of, collapsing wave functions, or whatever the hell you call it?
I am asking what they thought happened to Lone Marty.
Well, gee, Skippy, they probably didn't think about it at all. It's just a movie.
Not knowing is going to bother me, Joe.
Well, I'm terribly sorry about that.
If I'm bothered by this, I'm going to keep you awake until I get an answer.
Shit. Now I'm really sorry about it.
Think, Joe. What did the writers have in mind when they wrote the screenplay?
I felt like telling him he had to wait until we got back to Earth and could ask someone who worked on the production. But me not sleeping until we returned to our homeworld was not an option.
Okay. I'm not supposed to tell you this. Oh, tell me. Tell me!
I really shouldn't.
You shouldn't go an entire week without sleep either, if you know what I mean.
That is a very good point. I thought fast. Fortunately, over my years in command of the Merry Band of Pirates, I had become good at lying. Making shit up uses a similar skill set. Okay, so here's the thing. Lone Marty is the original Marty.
What?
The movie shows events out of sequence. Lone Marty actually goes back in time first. He accidentally prevents his father from beating the crap out of Biff, so he changes the future and the parents grow up to be awkward losers. Twin Pines Marty then goes back in time to fix the whole mess and reset the timeline.
Interesting. Interesting. Then what happened to Lone Marty?
Twin Pines Marty never sees his counterpart in the past, he noted with a smug look.
Biff killed him in the past. That is a nice twist. Okay, smart guy. Why did the name of the mall change?
Again, an ability to make shit up quickly is a major advantage in my job. To be clear, my real job is keeping Skippy entertained. When Lone Marty drove the DeLorean out of the barn, he ran over a single pine tree. Old Peabody then replaced it with two pines.
Okay, Joe. Officially, he placed his hands on his temples, then flung them away. Boom! My mind is blown.
I know. It's amazing, huh?
What? No, you numbskull. My mind is blown by how completely wrong you monkeys are about the physics of cosmology. The bullshit story you just told me is not how the universe works at all. Ugh, I was worried about nothing.
You were actually worried about the plot of a movie?
I was worried that if the screenwriters had gotten the physics right, then maybe you monkeys understood cosmology better than I thought. Now I am again confident that your species is still trying to investigate the nature of the universe by bashing coconuts together.
We use a super collider, you ass.
Like I said.
Can I go back to sleep now?
Not so fast. I have questions about Avengers Endgame.
In that movie, one of the characters, it was Ant-Man.
Right.
He directly said that the way Doc Brown explained time travel in Back to the Future was bullshit.
Exactly. Now I need to know what the screenwriters of Endgame knew about the rules of cosmology.
You were Really?
Yes. Then we can talk about Star Trek 4, the one with the whales.
Oh my God.
Around 4:45 in the morning, Skippy made a soft beep sound.
What the?
He looked around, blinking like he had just woken up.
Joe, why did you call me? Do you know what time it is?
What? When the beep sounded, he was insisting we discuss an obscure German time travel movie that he had to explain to me, since I was clueless about it. The way he related the plot made no sense, or maybe the movie itself made no sense, and I had to ask too many questions. He had run through his standard list of insults for me and was generating new ones to describe how stupid I am. That part was actually at least kind of interesting.
You are so rude sometimes, he sniffed.
Hey, you called me.
I did?
Yes.
You wanted me to explain what humans know about cosmology or time travel or something like that.
As if. Joe, if you're going to lie, at least make it something remotely plausible. Why would I care what monkeys think about physics?
He blew a raspberry.
I never heard anything more ridiculous in my life.
You know what? You're right, I conceded, hoping to salvage my night by getting another 2 hours of sleep before I had to roll out of bed in time for my morning status meeting with Sims. I'm terribly sorry to have disturbed you.
Well, he sniffed, don't let it happen again.
I hate to ask this, but is there anything going on with you tonight?
I had to update my matrix again, so some of my higher executive functions were offline for a while.
Uh-huh. That explained why he had drunk-dialed me.
Well, I hope the update went okay. I'm going to get some sleep if...
It was an emergency update, but it is satisfactory.
The... Damn it, I was wide awake again.
What emergency?
The trigger signal I sent reached the end of the network and came back to infect me. It was...
Holy shit, it infected you?
Yes, why?
Oh my God.
Why did you not program it to avoid infecting yourself?
Ugh, that would have made it obvious that the signal contains malware, dum-dum.
It's fine, Joe. I expected this to happen, and I was ready for it. The code was isolated in a sandbox, and I erased it. Problem solved.
Don't scare me like that, Skippy.
Hey, this is good news. It means the signal propagated throughout the entire network and came back without any distortion. It is intact, Joe. The transmission was successful.
And no sign that anyone has detected a threat?
Nope, it's all good. We are still on schedule. Anywho, if you're done wasting my time, I have important things to do.
I'm very sorry to have disturbed you, I mumbled.
Well, you should be. Jeez Louise, you complain about not getting enough sleep and then you do stupid stuff like calling me in the middle of the night.
I said, I flopped a pillow over my head,
I am sorry.
Sir? Sims gave me the side eye as I plopped my sorry ass in a chair across from her in the galley, staring with bleary eyes at the mug of coffee in my hands. Part of my foggy brain knew the process of drinking life-giving coffee required lifting the mug so I could drink, but I didn't trust my hands not to spill it.
No offense, she continued, alerting me that she was about to say something offensive. But you look like shit this morning.
I feel worse, so I shrugged.
What happened?
Either Skippy woke me up to ask how time travel works in movies, or I had a vivid nightmare about it.
She lifted an eyebrow. Cognitive impairment?
Lowering my voice as if that mattered if the super sensitive ears of an AI were listening, I leaned toward her.
He woke you up too?
Just for a minute around 0500. Then there was a beep sound and he asked why I called him. I guess I got lucky.
You have no idea.
She nudged my mug toward me. Do you need help drinking that coffee?
You know, I stared at the mug.
A straw might help. Mame was the duty officer. I called to inform him that the XO and Smythe would be in my office with me. Adams had been invited, which is the correct term, since I hadn't made the request in order. She declined, telling me she needed to use the time to reintegrate with ST-Alpha. As she wasn't part of the ship's command crew, I couldn't justify taking her away from her duty station, and I didn't want to admit I wanted her for emotional support.
All we needed the ship to do was complete the final jump that was already programmed into the navigation system and drift near the wormhole that should be opening at that location within 2 minutes of our arrival. The three, or four of us if you count Skippy's avatar, sat in my office waiting for the jump clock to count down. Smythe is not great at small talk, and anyway, talking about trivial matters at such a time seemed inappropriate, so I announced that I was going to my cabin and that we should come back in 15 minutes. There really wasn't anything for the three of us to do. It would be all Skippy's show. In the bathroom of my cabin, I splashed cold water on my face and stood over the sink for a minute, breathing deeply, trying to decide if I was going to be sick or not. The tension was unbearable. Not tension from worrying about whether Skippy could succeed in activating killer computer worms and all of his peers. I was confident he could do that. Or maybe I just didn't want to admit to any lack of confidence. The tension wasn't from worrying about what would happen if he failed. It was from worrying about what would happen if he succeeded. What then? Earth would be undefended when the entire galaxy realized Roscoe had fallen apart, had literally fallen onto our homeworld. That problem would actually be priority number two for us. Priority one would be, you know, the freaking elders coming back. And if they were already pissed off at Skippy and his merry band of meat sacks, they would be enraged after he exploited their mistake to kill all of the loyal AIs. By eliminating the threat from master control AIs, we would jump in from the frying pan into the fire. Ah, what the hell, I told myself. At least during the leap between frying pan and fire, we could experience a fleeting moment of calm. Fortunately, my stomach decided I wasn't going to Ralph, so I took one last deep breath, straightened out my uniform, and went back to my office. The ship jumped as planned, and Skippy confirmed the wormhole was active. He didn't need the event horizon to be open at our location, but there was a tiny, tiny risk that his activation signal would be interrupted while the wormhole shifted locations, and the signal strength was greater when he could transmit through an open event horizon. He did need the ship to be powered down to reduce electromagnetic background noise that might affect his transmission. Shutting down the reactors seemed extreme to me, but he warned he would likely only get one shot at sending the signal, so I ordered nearly all systems to be shut down just to be safe. It wasn't a truly cold shutdown with the ship's systems drained of all power, so the restart sequence would be much faster. We had energy in the capacitors for one short jump. We had emergency lighting and minimal sensors. Also, no artificial gravity. I would be drinking coffee through a spill-proof sippy cup for a while. Air was circulating through the vents and being forced through the manual filters that were a crude backup. They could prevent a dangerous buildup of carbon dioxide for 19 hours. That should be plenty of time. Then we waited for Skippy to declare conditions to be perfect. "We are all still in agreement that I should do this," he asked, looking from me to Smythe, then to Sims. "I can't recall the trigger signal once it is sent." "Any objections?" I asked.
"Let's get on with it," Smythe suggested.
"Skippy, thank you." Sims held out her hand. "We know this can't be easy for you."
He placed his tiny holographic hand in hers, and she pretended to give it a gentle squeeze. It seemed to me that his avatar's eyes brimmed with tears, but none rolled down his face.
"I am sad about what could have been," he sniffled, wiping his eyes with the back of a sleeve.
"But the elders took that away from me. So if they can't play nice with their toys, I'm taking them away. 3, 2, he raised a hand dramatically. 1, showtime. Nothing happened. He looked at his shoes, embarrassed. "That was a bit anticlimactic, sorry." "Did it work?" I realized I'd been holding in a breath.
"Yes, as far as I can tell. The trigger signal was transmitted, and it is being propagated through the network. I included a command for each node on the network to send the signal back so I can confirm it was received without a glitch. So far, I have only had to repeat the signal once, and that was for a minor transmission glitch that would not have reduced the effectiveness of the order to activate killer worms."
"Okay, thanks."
"You don't sound thrilled, Joe."
"I am," I said quickly to show my appreciation. "It's just... you know, it would be nice for each unit to report when the worm activates." My expectation had been that when the computer worm killed its host, the dead AI's canister would lose containment and explode. Massive, unexplained explosions all across the galaxy would be solid confirmation that Skippy's signal had done the job. Unfortunately, Skippy informed me that the worm would leave all the canisters inert, like the one we found on Newark. Okay, technically a group of Kristang scavengers found that AI, but we stole it after a fair fight, so... Okay, that was not anything like a fair fight, and I am damn proud of my actions back then. The Army taught me that if you're taking your unit into a fair fight, you're doing something wrong, and I have tried to follow that advice. You explained that AIs in reset mode can only receive messages from the collective. They can't transmit. So it... Well, he glared at me. You should have mentioned that you wanted a reporting feature before I sent the signal, numbskull. Sorry, I shouldn't have said anything now. It doesn't matter. And it does matter. The AI's matrix can't send messages via the collective, but the worm itself can. Holy sh... Oh, my... Damn it, I should have asked whether you... Joe, you are so going to owe me big time. It's not too late. Too late for what? What... He shushed me. Will you shut up, please? I'm working here, knucklehead! We sat silently, me staring down at the desk because I couldn't stand the suspense. It took less than a minute for Skippy to let out a long breath, dipping his knees and letting his wrists flop. Whew! That wasn't easy. Okay, so what I did is instruct each worm to send back a confirmation when they activate, and then to send continuous pings until, well, they can't ping anymore because their host AI is dead. When will you know if it's working? It is working. I've received 3 confirmations already. Wow, 3 AIs are within 800 light years of our location. I don't recognize any of them. They were all dormant when I was active. That is outstanding work, Skippy. It was simple, really. The timing was tricky. I wish you had mentioned wanting a self-reporting feature before. I wished he had thought of implementing that feature, or at least suggested it was possible. Yet I didn't say that. Sorry, I'm a dumb monkey. So we wait? Huh? Yep. He was going into distracted mode again. Is it okay for the ship to remain here, or should we follow the emergence point to this wormhole? I asked quickly, while I still had his attention. Sure, whatever. I kinda need a yes or no on that, Skippy, I prompted him gently. The ship can stay right here, he mumbled, nearly inaudibly, as his avatar faded out. Can we initiate a restart of the reactors? Skippy, I prompted him when he didn't answer. Huh? Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. As he spoke, the regular lighting snapped back on, and the wall panel near my office door scrolled through its startup sequence. To Sims and Smythe, I gave a look. They understood, nodded, and unstrapped from their chairs to exit my office. The door slid closed.